Well, good to see you this morning. I'm glad Russell asked me to come up and share today, and I'm happy about that. We've been very busy over the last few months. Last weekend I was in Port Macquarie, or near Port Macquarie, and Elizabeth and I had been there in April, I think, this year. And one of the things that happened when we'd been there at Port Macquarie, there was a man and he had a heart problem, and the doctors had only given him a few months to live. He was in his mid-60s, I think. And they said that if he didn't have heart surgery, that he would not, live very long. And he had gone and had all the tests, and then the doctors at the hospital had decided that he wasn't suitable for heart surgery. So he was in a catch-22 situation. And he came along to the meeting. He happens to be the brother of the pastor's wife at the group that we were with. And God moved in my heart, and I gave him a scripture from Ezekiel 36:26, which says God will give you a new heart. And so that was it. There was nothing else happened. We just left. And when I was up there again this weekend, he came in on the Saturday morning, which was the first session I had last Saturday, yesterday, a week ago. And he came and he's all bright and happy, and he came over to me after the meeting and he said, "Thank you for what you told me last time you here that God would give me a new heart." I said, "Yeah, that's great, and I'm sure that's God's plan." He said, "Yeah, but he has." I said, "What do you mean he has?" "Well, he said I went to hospital and they reviewed my whole situation and they did a new heart operation on me."
Amen.
And so he says, "God has literally given me a new heart." He says, "He used the doctors to put it in, but he's given me a new heart." So I said, "Well, that's great, and we appreciate that." Now, the pastor's wife, who's the sister of this guy, also was ill. And she's been ill over several years. And when I went up there last weekend, she was unable to walk even. She'd been so ill, she'd been in hospital a few days before. And she was actually crawling on the floor when I first got up there. And they got her over to the Saturday morning meeting, and she sat through the teaching, and I was teaching there on that we are to walk as sons of God. And I had some of my tape of the month or CD of the month programs with me, and the CD I think we put out last month was Walking in Divine Health, or Living a Healthy Life. And she got one of these CDs and went home back to her home last Saturday morning and listened to it two times during the day. And by the time she'd listened to it the second time, she was up and moving around.
Amen.
Made the lunch, came back to the night meeting and was dancing with everyone else. And so she
right.
had a, so just by listening to the Word of God, God changed her. And there were other things we could share with you too about that, but that's enough, I guess, for this morning about testimonies of things that have happened. If you've got your Bible this morning, I want you to look at that, turn to the book of Colossians with me. And if you're taking notes, the message that I felt in my heart to share with you this morning, and it only came together with me yesterday, was this: it is Christ in you that will get you through. It is Christ in you that will get you through. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. And there's quite a few scriptures I'll give you this morning. Colossians 1:27 in the New Living Testament. I've got them noted down in different versions here. But it says this: "For it pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. For this is the secret: Christ lives in you, and this is your assurance that you will share in his glory." Christ in you, the King James says, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the Message Bible puts it this way, Colossians 1:27. God wanted everyone, not just the Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is just this: Christ in you, therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. This is the substance of our message. And that really is the substance of the message that I have for you this morning, and it's the substance of the message that we teach and preach and have done over all of these years, and Russell and I is also doing it. That is, it's Christ in you.
Yes, amen.
The hope of glory. See, so often people miss the whole point of the message. There's a revelation in this for you this morning, if you haven't already got it. And if you can grab onto this, I believe it will help you. So wherever you are today, whether, you know, the old rhyme used to be tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor. So whether you're a tinker, a tailor, a soldier, or a sailor, or a school teacher, or whatever it is you do, whatever you do, it's Christ in you that is going to get you through. Now think about this. When you get out of bed in the morning, it's Christ's legs in your legs. It's Christ's hands in your hands. It's Christ's heart in your heart. It's Christ's thinking in you, because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. So we need to understand that wherever we go, then he is in us. His blood is pumping through our veins. So wherever we go, whatever we do, and every time we walk anywhere, he walks there with us. I think I told a story, and I think I told it in this room before, about the old-time evangelist who looked at himself in a long mirror one morning as he was getting dressed. And when he looked into that long mirror, he saw himself standing there in his suit, getting ready to go out and preach. And he said, everywhere this suit goes today, God goes. Everywhere this suit goes today, God goes. And it's the same with you. Everywhere you go today, God goes. That is, if you're born again. That is, if you have received him and you understand that Christ is in you. So wherever you go today, Christ goes with you. If you go to the restaurant, he goes with you. If you go to the craft market, he goes with you. If you go to the bathroom, he goes with you. Think about that. He is in you. He's there all of the time, and he will get you through. Now, I'm sure that some of you may have said this or heard it said, you know, when people pray, well, my prayers don't get any higher than the roof. You know, the heavens are as brass. God isn't hearing what I'm saying today. Well, I got news for you today. Your prayers don't need to go any higher than your nose.
Yes. Amen.
They don't need to hit the roof. They don't need to reach heaven, because Christ is already in you. Your nose is as far as they need to go. See, the creator of the whole universe, the one who created these trees that this building is built around, he is in you. Okay, I don't know if you can get a hold of this, the thinking I'm trying to get to you, that Christ, the Son of God, is in you. Now, it's not Jesus. You understand that? Better explain. Jesus was born. He was the Word of God. John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as you read down through John chapter 1, you'll find there, in fact, let me just read it to you, and then you will understand. In the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter, down to about verse 13, 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. Jesus was the Word of God. But Jesus had to be adopted into the family of Joseph, the carpenter of Nazareth. Because when Mary had Jesus, who was the Word of God, Mary wasn't married and she hadn't had sex. So therefore Jesus technically was illegitimate in that he didn't have an earthly father. Now that's hard to understand, but that's the way it is. And so he was adopted into the family of Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth. So he was adopted down through his earthly birth into an earthly family. So you and I, through our heavenly rebirth, could be adopted up into a heavenly family. And Jesus died as the Son of Man. But on that Easter morning when he was raised from the dead, he was raised as the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Jesus died. You have to understand that. And that's the crux of this whole message. We always talk about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. Jesus had the beard. He wore the sandals and the robe, you know, that they didn't tear up when they crucified him. Jesus was crucified and he died. He went to hell. But when he was raised again from the dead, he was raised as the Christ, the Son of the living God. You read the Bible from Romans onwards. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc. Right along, you'll never hear Jesus mentioned again. It's always the Christ. So you've got to understand that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So wherever you go, he goes. And if we would spend some time thinking about that, it would eventually become a reality in our lives, because Proverbs 23:7 says what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we think about it, it would become a reality to us, and we begin to understand. Now let's look at several more scriptures. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now what I'm trying to do this morning is get a foundation of the word into you again. And I know Russell teaches a lot of these things a lot of times too. But I want to try and be a little succinct with you this morning and get it into you so you understand what's happening and where you're going to be in the days that lie ahead. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, King James, it says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God said, I will live in you. I'll be part of you. I'll become a part of you. I've told you this morning, it's Christ in you. Amen. It's Christ in you. See, God promised that. He said that I'll read it again. "As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now I turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, 12, 13. Ephesians 2, 11. Now I'm going to read it from the New King James to you. It's just a little different. "Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands," verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ," or outside of Christ, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now let's stop there for a moment. Several things about that. Number one, he says covenants, plural, of promise. Not just a covenant, but covenants. There are more covenants. There's a covenant of health. There's a covenant of finance. There's all these covenants. So we were strangers when we were outside of Christ. But we're no longer outside of Christ. Christ is in us and we are in Christ. Let's read the next verse, 13. "But now in Christ." Let's read it through. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." I wonder if you've really ever sat down and thought about what does it mean to be in Christ? I mean, have you really actually given that a thought? Have you really thought about, well, we hear this every week about being in Christ. We did a conference with Peter Wade several years ago. We've done two of the conferences. The first one I did the whole thing all by myself because Peter wasn't all that well. And then last time Peter shared the ministry with me. And some of you were at that conference up at Hall's Gap. But the first one I did six or seven sessions, I think, on being in Christ, who we are in Christ. And we got such a response from the people in America and even the people in Australia who came to that conference. They had never heard some of these truths before. It just absolutely exploded in them. And Peter has gone on, of course, he's built a whole website, peterwade.com, if you go there, you'll find him. A whole bunch of stuff on there every week about all this message about being in Christ and who we are. In fact, Peter and Vivian are coming over in a few weeks' time, and they're going to be with us one Sunday. Now, unfortunately, they won't be here because on the Sunday that they're coming here, which is 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be preaching in Frankston. And so they're going to come with me to Frankston and sit in on the message down there. Had we not been in Frankston, we would have brought them up here. But we need to understand this. It's Christ in us. And what that really means is this, that right now, say right now.
Right now.
Okay, right now, inside of you is the same life. Now think about this. Right now, inside of you is the same life that God gave Jesus who died when he raised him from the dead. I'm going to say it again because it went over somebody's head. Right now, at this very moment in time, at 16 minutes past 11, on the 13th of November 2013, 2005, right now, at this very moment, inside of you, if you're born again, is the same life that God gave Jesus when he raised him from the dead and made him the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's in you right now. Now, the Bible tells us, and we're going to, Russell read a verse earlier, 1 John 4:4, and that's a great verse. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Little children, you're of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them," that is the agents of Antichrist, "because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who is in the world." Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think about that. So the greater one is in you. That means he's greater than cancer.
Amen.
Yes.
He's greater than broken hearts. He's greater than tumors. He's, you name it, he's greater. Because the name of Jesus is a greater name than any name that can be named. And so this Christ that is in us, he died as the Son of Man, but was raised as the Son of God. And it's the Son of God who is in us today. And the sin that controlled your life at some time and controlled my life when I was unsaved was gone the moment Jesus died at Calvary. Now, we didn't know that because we weren't even born then. But when we come into the realization of that, that when Jesus died, our old man died with him by faith at Calvary. Our old man was buried with him. And when he was raised as a new Son of the living God, the Christ, we were raised with him as new people. So we're new. We're brand new creations. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person is in Christ, he's a brand new person. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I've said it hundreds of times when I mention that verse, that there's a revelation in there, and it is this, that if we are a new creation, we have no past. Because our past is finished with, it's gone, it's buried, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And I'm so glad about that, because, you know, I don't want anybody remembering what I used to be like. I don't want anybody remembering what my past is. You know, sometimes we talk about it, well, I used to do this and that, and that's all right by way of testimony. But we need to forget those things that are past. Don't glory in the things that we used to do. We need to be people of the new creation. In John chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. This is John's Gospel. John chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to read it from this modern English version. It says, "And with this word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the word. Everything was created that was created received its life from him. And his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps on shining in the dark." Now listen to this. This will blow anybody's mind if you can get a hold of it. "The light keeps on shining in the dark, and the darkness has never put it out."
That's good.
The darkness has never put out the light. Darkness cannot overcome light. Now, it's a little dark in this room this morning. Not too bad, because there's lots of windows. But if it were 8 o'clock tonight, the room would be dark. But if you flick that little switch over there, wherever it is on the wall, I've forgotten where the light switches are. But if you flick those little light switches on at 8 o'clock tonight, what happens? The darkness goes.
Yes.
See, darkness cannot overcome light. It's impossible. And you have the light in you. The light, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we need to constantly remind ourselves that God is with us and Christ is in us.
Amen. That's right.
1 Corinthians 16. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6. I beg your pardon. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. The King James Bible says, "But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." The Amplified Bible says, "But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." So can I challenge you then that you begin to see yourself even as that old time evangelist that I mentioned a few minutes ago did, and he saw everywhere that he went in that suit, God was going? So can I challenge you that everywhere you go today and tomorrow and next week, God is with you, he's in you, and wherever you go, he's going with you. Now, let me begin to try and bring this to a close for you this morning, because, you know, 20 minutes is okay if you're teaching something that's worthwhile. But if you're going to go for 2 hours on something that's not worth hearing, you'll all be asleep. But I think this is important that we understand these things. John 16:33, Amplified Bible. Wonderful verse. If you don't have any other verse marked in your Bible, you should mark this one. The last verse of John 16. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. John 16:33, Amplified. This is Jesus speaking. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? This is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you.
Hallelujah.
See, he is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The world can't hurt you. I mean, they can, sticks and stones may break your bones and all of that sort of stuff, but the world can't hurt you unless you want it to. See, I was reading the other day something that made me think, you know, about love, and a number of times I tell Elizabeth a dozen times a day at least I love her. I say, I love you, sweetheart. Wake up in the morning, love you. Sitting at breakfast, oh, I love you so much. All the time. Now, she doesn't need me to tell that. She knows that, but I still feel I need to tell her. And it probably does her good to hear it too. But you know, people have told us as ministers, oh, we love you, we're going to support your ministry. Next week they leave the church. They're gone. What happened to the love? And I discovered something. There's a difference between love and loyalty. There's a difference between love and loyalty. I thought about it like this, because I thought about Elizabeth and I. Heard a story. The story is this. This couple who'd been married about 40 years woke up one morning, and the wife sort of reached round her husband and said, when we were young, you used to snuggle up against me. And he grunted and sort of turned around and put his arms around her and snuggled in close. Then she said, when we were young, you used to nibble my ear. So the bedclothes are thrown back and he jumps out of bed. She says, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get my teeth. Now, this is the thought. When you're in your 20s and you're young and you're just married and hormones are working and there's the smell of nice perfume in the bedroom, everything's working good. But when you're in your 60s perhaps and the ear you're trying to nibble has a hearing aid in it and you have to go and get your teeth to nibble on that ear, that's the difference between love and loyalty.
Yes, amen. That's good. That's good.
Love is full of the joy of spring. Loyalty is still being there and doing it when you're not able.
Yep.
When it's inappropriate. When it's not the right time. When you've got something else on. Oh, I've got to go to this day. I have a barbecue. That's still loving. We've lost kind of a number of people who've said, we'll be there. And we know when we hear that, it's ta-ta, they're about to go. Isn't that true, love? We've heard that so many times. I mean, we've lost kind of the number of people over the years, because we've been around church for a long time. And they say, oh, we love you. We'll always be there. I had one girl come and said, oh, we want to give money to you. We're going to support you. We're going to look after you. And it was the last we ever saw of her. Never got a cent. That was it. Finished. And when people are all over us like that, we usually say, here we go again. It's going to happen. They're on the way out. But anyway, don't know why I said that this morning. But anyway, somebody needed to hear it, I guess. The Message puts that verse, John 16:33, like this. John 16:33, Message. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered it for you. I've conquered it for you. Now the Lord said that, and as long as you live in the world, you're going to have trouble. But we need to realize that we are not in this world, we are in Christ.
Amen.
We're not in the world. We're in Christ.
We got a pen here very quickly. There's the world. You know, a big round circle. That's the world. And here we are. Where's Melbourne? Australia's down the bottom here somewhere. So here's Australia, and we're in Melbourne.
Okay.
Looks like Australia, doesn't it?
Okay.
So there's Melbourne. But see, so we're in the world. But we're not in the world. We're in Christ. And Christ protects us from the world. For the world to get to you and to get to me, they've got to get through Christ to get to us. Think about that. See, we are in the world, but we're in Christ. We're in Christ in the world. Now that makes all the difference, because he has already overcome all the world for us. It's Christ in you that's going to get you through.
Yes.
Now remember this. In him, you're not a sick person trying to get well. You're a well person, and the devil's trying to make you believe you're sick. You're not a poor person trying to make a few dollars to get through this week. You're already blessed of God, abundantly in heavenly places, in Christ, and the devil's trying to make you think you're not going to make it. But remember this, the devil is a liar. John 8, in verse 44 and 45, John chapter 8, let me find it, in verse 44 it says, Jesus here was speaking to the Pharisees on his day, and this is what he says, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Is that an Amplified Bible I see there, Russell? Can I borrow that? Thanks. John chapter 8, 44, Amplified. Listen to this in the Amplified. Just let me turn a few more pages. Oh, Russell, you've been writing all over this Bible. Oh, goodness me.
Just about.
Okay, here we are. John 8, verse 44, Amplified. You are of your father the devil. It is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him. For he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. When the devil speaks, he speaks lies. He speaks what's natural to him. He can't help himself. That's how he is. And Jesus said, speaking to the Pharisees, you are of your father. They were outside of being born again. They were not born again. He says, you're out there, you're in the world. So he is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. The devil is the god of this world. So if he's the god of this world, then everything in the world is a lie. Now think about it. I'm trying to get your mind going this morning. So when the devil tries to make you believe you're sick or poor or broke or whatever, that's a lie. Because he speaks a lie. He doesn't know anything else. Now let me leave you with a couple more scriptures as we sort of try to wind this all down. There's an old scripture, an old Testament scripture from the book of Psalms. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. Let me just find that for you. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. It says, this is from the King James Version. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The NIV Bible says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves them who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The Lord delivers him from them all. Say them all. Them all. He delivers us from them all. Now here's these two verses. Last scripture today, but in the Message Bible. Psalm 34, 18 and 19 in the Message Bible. Listen to this. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. Go say it again. I like the way Eugene Peterson writes these.
Amen.
Psalm 34, 18, Message Bible. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble, still God is there every time.
Amen.
See, it's Christ in you that's going to put you through. Russell said that this morning in another way. He said, it's Christ in you that's going to put you over. The greater one in you is going to put you over. But He's going to take you through. Whatever the problem is, we all have problems, we all have difficulties, but guess what? We're winners. I read the end of this book, and I find out that I win in the end.
Hallelujah.
I won the day that I received Jesus. I won the day that I received Christ. I became a winner. In fact, I remember Bill Waterman, he wrote a song called I'm a Winner, I'm a Winner. And Jesus made me a winner.
He showed
me how to prosper every day because Jesus made me a winner. Can't remember all the words. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, our time is just about gone, and I'm going to hand back to Brother Russell. We appreciate you listening this morning. Take a hold of some of these truths that I'm trying to get to you. You need to realize that you are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Greater is He that's in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I mean, there's scripture after scripture after scripture. I think it was Kenneth Hagin who went through the Word of God, and he discovered, I think there's 134 references in the New Testament. Think about that. 134 references in the New Testament which talks about us being in Christ and Christ being in us. And I discovered if God says something more than once, He's trying to get it to us. We are who God says we are. We can do what God says we can do. And we have what God says we have. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, this morning, I thank You for the opportunity to share these truths with these precious people. And Father, I pray that these will not just be so many words that are spoken, but Lord, that they will in fact be rooted deep in their hearts. And that when they face situations and circumstances in the next week and the next month, that, Father, these words will come up again in their spirit, and they'll know that in Christ they can go through anything. Christ in you will take you through no matter what it is. So we give You the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Russell.